This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watch the Geek, and I'm here my boy, Jess. Yo, what's up? We got some new friends up in here.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host, aka the Witches of Jazzerly Place.
Like Wizards of Waverly Place?
Do you get that, Jazz? Yes, the Witches of Waverly Place.
It's the Wizards of Waverly Place.
You all know they're. I know, but it's the Wizard of Jazzerly Place today.
Ah, okay. Cool. I love it.
Because there's witches in this episode, Jav. There's witches in this episode.
Actual witches?
What do you think of that?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
We're going to find out.
But I want to welcome. Listen, Jav. You may be pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not. Listen, Jazz is the heart of this show. And that was said by our homie Ruby last week because she does not watch the show. And she said if it wasn't for Jazz, she wouldn't watch the show because Jazz is her and she is Jazz.
Oh.
Jazz puts everything in perspective for everybody on this show. Props to Jazz.
Thank you.
Right. And let's introduce our next guest. It is... Oh, no. I think I'm lagging a little bit. Am I lagging?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're lagging pretty bad.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
No, we can't.
Oh, no. Is my internet... All right. Let's let it catch up. Let's let it catch up a little bit. all right. So now I'm going to introduce Emma, who is from Agents of Fandom, good friends of ours. We love them. She's also for Ticket to Reality, co-hosting that show. I've been on for a little while with them. She is a nerdy for life. She puts the star in Star Wars and everything that's great. She is one of our beautiful, beautiful friends. Welcome.
Nice.
Thank you. I was waiting for my compliments tonight. Did not disappoint. Thank you. It's so great to be here again. I love doing
this.
Welcome
back.
We like to butter up our hosts.
I appreciate that.
All right. If you guys are in the comments, let me know if I'm still lagging. I don't know why that is. Maybe I can turn some more stuff off. There you go. Hopefully that fixes stuff. And you know what? Maybe we'll do without the background music today to help the lagging.
I don't think that's it, man.
All right. How about now? Can you guys hear me better now?
We can hear you, but your video is still choppy. All
right. Sounds good.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Guess this might be a true podcast.
Oh, if the video's choppy, that's not a big deal because it fixes that in post anyways.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, it's all good.
Let's stop your camera for today.
Let's talk about...
Em and I will be the stars.
You want me to turn off my camera? You want to see if that works?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it might help. Bye, Neebs.
I guess.
Oh my God! He disconnected his camera and his mic. Ah, okay, there we go.
Okay. Did I just disappear?
Yeah.
He just disappeared.
Right. You guys will have to go without video. All right, it'll help. I'm using a new computer today because I had technical difficulties, and I don't think this computer is powerful enough. All right.
Yeah, we're going to get you a new laptop, Neebs. No worries.
Well, speaking of powerful, COVID is still powerful because our homie Greer is asymptomatic and she wasn't on this episode at all. At all.
Whoa. Who's Greer?
Yep. So she was the girl from last week who was on, she had a computer date with him. And he was talking about how COVID was really bad. And she was like, yeah, you know what? I had COVID when I had a sales quarter due. So I know how stressful it could be. And he snapped at her.
What? Why?
Yeah, he snapped because he goes like, well, it's not the same thing. I'm looking for my life. I'm looking for my wife. And she's just, you know, you're just talking about work.
Wow. Yeah, it was hard to watch.
Oh, yeah. That's gross. I don't like it.
It was very gross. And then
very bad.
Dear, this episode, God, like, he does something just as bad, and we're gonna get to that at the end.
Yeah,
Jazz, you.
I
you
can't
will find
wait.
Out.
I guess
we'll find out.
Like, I don't know what to say.
Right. Emma, what did you think of that? Because we talked a little bit about it last week. What did you think of that? That little snap.
Yeah, that did not give me warm and fuzzy feelings at all. I thought she was just trying, she does the same thing that I do sometimes, and just, you know, you're trying to connect with somebody by sharing a somewhat similar experience. And I think that was uncalled for him to snap at her like that. I think she was just trying to be empathetic, and he was, I don't know what his deal is, because as we'll talk about later, the similar thing that happened later in the episode just wasn't giving me good feelings.
Ruby's asking in the comments, real question though. This guy from afar sounds terrible. Do they make people go through with the show if the guy is a narcissist?
I don't think he is a narcissist. I think what he is somebody who gets triggered really easily and may not have the most even temper. Right. I'm not saying he's the kind of guy that like gets upset and will hurt anybody. I'm saying he's the kind of guy that's like, if you do something to upset her, upset him, he just wants to shut it down, walk away, end the relationship rather than trying to work it out. I think he's that kind of guy.
Is that why he's shown like everybody the car? Like, episode.
No, seriously, Jazz. Every guy, every time a girl is like trying to ask for some kind of, what is it called? What is it called when they ask for validation? Every time a girl asks for any kind of validation, he's like, oh, you want me to give you validation? Well, you know what? Here's the door.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
That's so toxic.
He is super toxic.
Yeah, Ruby really agrees. Because, like, either way, that is super toxic.
And you know what 100%. It is? They tried to market him as, like, the most authentic bachelor. Like, he doesn't even have an Instagram, and he's gonna delete his Instagram after the show. He's not going to make money off the show afterwards. So he's really in it for love. And I'm like, and the minute a girl asks for validation, he thinks, in my opinion, that she's in it for the show, and he deletes her immediately, just shows her the door.
Jeez, that does... How is he going to find anybody like that? Like, I don't see this going anywhere. What's going on with him?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to find out. We are going to find out. All right, let's get into this episode, because we haven't even gotten to the episode yet. This is just we spent 8 minutes talking just about how toxic this guy is. We haven't even like gotten into the episode.
Oh God. Okay.
And there's a lot more in this episode too.
So if you remember from last episode, Charity did not get a one-on-one date because he got COVID, so he had to move it. So she gets her one-on-one date now, which is great. They didn't skip her. They didn't make her wait extra. Which if they did skip her, I would riot, because that would have been really, really messed up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would have been pissed.
Charity gets the one-on-one date. He comes to pick Charity up for their one-on-one date. And then, as soon as he sits down, this girl, Kat, says, can I steal you for a moment? And then she goes, takes them outside in the hallway. They talk for a bit. Charity is literally waiting for her date. He's supposed to come pick her up, make her feel like something special, and basically, you know, take her out for this romantic date. And then what happens? Another girl steals him. And then homeboy comes back with another girl's lip gloss on his lips.
Oh, no.
So they kiss. So this man just kissed another woman right before going on a date with the girl he's supposed to go on a date with.
Oh, that's so bad.
Right?
Oh, no. Why do we allow this?
I was flabbergasted.
Oh, no, thank you.
I was shocked, Jazz. I was like, oh, man. It was really bad. And she kind of felt a certain way about it. He just took the energy out of the room. And she was like, oh, okay, you're back. And then Zach just looks at them and goes, they were like dead silence. And he goes, flaps his lap and goes, okay, I guess we should go. It was just so weird. She just snapped the energy out of that room. It took Charity's moment. And then the other girls kind of were like, you shouldn't have done that. They were like, that was uncalled for. That was not cool. What are your thoughts about that, Emma?
Yeah, that was, I don't think I've ever seen something like that happen before because, you know, on one hand, of course, like everyone's there to date the same person. So you're all kind of sharing time with somebody. But like when someone has a one-on-one date and like he's literally there to pick that person up for that date, that's just, you just don't do that. Like, I don't know. It just, again, just wasn't great. And the fact that Zach just kind of like didn't say anything about it and was just like, oh, we just talked. I don't do my girl Charity dirty like that. Like, I want to protect her because I don't, it just wasn't great. And then the way that she just kind of doubled down and wasn't willing to see the issue with that also really bothered me.
I thought Kat was going to go all the way, and she's turning on me. Jazz, what are your thoughts? Coming out of the blue, not knowing anything.
Do we know who kissed him before or no?
Yeah, it was Kat.
Oh, it was Kat.
Kat
okay.
steals him, and they talk, and then they kiss, and then they go back to the room. She's all smiley, and Charity's like, okay, you're supposed to take me on a date now.
Oh, damn. Was there any retribution or like,
what happened? She thought she did nothing wrong, but it was Brooklyn who called her out. Shout out to Brooklyn. Brooklyn has been stealing this show for me. She has such great energy. I love her. She is really, really cool. But yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Brooklyn, she actually brings out a great, great point. But she does it later in the episode, but I want to talk about it now. She goes to Kat and she goes, would you have done the same thing if it was Jess? And like, Jess is a white woman. Charity is a black woman. She said the quiet part out loud. And I was like, you go, girl. Holy shit. I was like, that was amazing. That was a phenomenal thing to say. Because like, I was like, holy shit. She said what we were all thinking.
Okay. Right? I'm here for this. Like, let's go, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn's a girl's girl. She had her back.
She does. I love Brooklyn. She was the one that surprised me the most. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, how I'm going to feel about her. But after this episode, she is absolutely in my top.
It's
like,
so
I
good to
her.
See her stick up for other women after we know what she'd been through. Because she was the one that was in a physically abusive relationship where she got knocked out and a police officer woke her up.
Dang.
Yep. Right? So to see her. So like she has like the spunk and the energy to be like, yo, I'm sticking up for people. And Kat was like, well, you're talking to me in a very aggressive way. And she tries to become the victim. And she's like, you're not being a good person about this. You're attacking me. You know, I don't like the word you're using. And like what I like about Brooklyn, she's not a hero. She's more of like an anti-hero because she was not nice about it. She was not polite about it. And
good.
I love that. I was like, yes. Listen, there are some people who are heroes and there's some people who are anti-heroes, right? Uh-huh. And I feel like Brooklyn is the anti-hero. She was like, bro, I'm going to have their back. And the way I'm going to have their back, you may not like it, but I'm going to do it. And it reminds me of my favorite quote from Sherlock Holmes is, I may be on the side of angels, but do not mistake me for one. That is my favorite quote from Sherlock Holmes, and it's so appropriate here because she's like, she's trying to tone police her. She was like, okay, fine, I did something bad, but don't come at me for it. Like, no, you deserve to come someone to come at you for it.
So, I'm just so hyped. Like, this is great,
right?
I am so happy.
I love to see like someone like this. She looked like she had never been called out in her life because she was like flabbergasted, where she was like, what did I do wrong? I mean, I know that was bad, but like, there are no rules here. I can do whatever I want. And I'm like, there's two ways to look at this. And Emma, tell me if I'm right or wrong. One way to look at it is that it was rude to do that to her date, and just common sense to, you know, it's not a polite thing to do. That's one way to look at it, right? In the real world, it's just not polite. But let's say we are not in the real world. Say you're like buying that, it's just a show, and you got to do what you got to do to get your man, right? If it's just for show, why not let Charity have her spotlight? Why not let her have that moment as a show, as a contestant, as someone who wants to get popular or whatever, right? Like, she deserves that too. If she came on here just for a platform, let her have that platform. Why you got to get in her way? It's just weird. I feel like both ways, she doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's honestly, and I think like she probably has rarely been called out for anything in her life, just, you know, a guess. And so I think like she's just like, I'm just going to make myself the star of the show. So I think both ways to look at it are accurate. Like, it's just not, just an overall not a great thing to do. Let Charity have her time. You just don't do that. It's rude. It's just not necessary.
So I Googled this episode. Apparently they're in Estonia.
That's what I'll be going to go to. They are in Estonia. So let's talk about that. They have the group date. And they are in Estonia. Charity still had their date, and they go on a horse carriage, like a horse carriage thing. It was really cute. It was like a good little thing.
That's cute.
And like, yeah, they decided to be in a wife carrying contest, Jazz. A wife carrying contest.
Oh, like where you pick up and then run with the girl on your back.
So you pick up and run with the wife on your back. The Charity did that. And and they won, which I don't know, probably a little stage, but maybe not.
Probably
staged. But yeah, they won. Yeah, yeah.
April also brought up a good point that this is the second time Spotlight was taken away from Charity.
The first time with COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damn you, yep. COVID. What's worse, COVID or cat?
I don't know.
I don't know.
There is a clear answer here.
It's cat-vid.
It's cat. It's 100% cat.
Yeah, cat-vid.
Cat-vid. Just put them together.
It's cat-vid.
And she's a nurse, so that's kind of ironic. I mean, she's one of like the 10 nurses.
I know. There's so many nurses on this season.
Oh, fun fact, speaking of nurses, since now I'm on here, my mom used to work at Johns Hopkins. I'm from Baltimore. And Genevieve, who I guess was eliminated a couple episodes ago, she worked with my mom for a little bit.
Cool.
In the NICU. Yes. So she's been watching. She doesn't usually watch the seasons, but she's been watching. We've been talking about it. So it's, you know, she didn't really make it too far.
I don't know if you guys saw like the second episode that we did and the fourth episode we did, but Genevieve was my favorite. She was my favorite. She's gorgeous.
Yeah. And
so tell your mom to hook it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was like, shout out to her. My mom says she's really nice. I will absolutely. I'll do what I can.
That's why she got eliminated. There was no drama.
I know. Exactly.
So then they go and they do this wife carrying contest, and then Kat was still in the, you know, being trying to gaslight everybody into thinking what she did wasn't wrong, try to convince everybody just talking in circles. And then they go back to the Charity date, and they were pretty much like right out of Frozen. It was pretty much they were going to all these like random shops. And those people did look like the shop owners from Frozen, which I thought was really, really funny.
That's cute, though. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's Olaf here? Is like, is Elsa going to be here? It was really, really cute. Estonia is like near Finland, right?
Yeah, it's bordering Russia.
I know it's bordering like Russia, but is it near Ukraine or is it like farther away from Ukraine?
It's further away. It's like there are like three countries that kind of border that are NATO countries: Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Estonia, Latvia touch Russia. Latvia, Lithuania touch Belarus, which is to their south, and then south of Belarus is Ukraine.
So like those countries remind me of the scene in Eurotrip. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where they go to that, they go to those like Baltic countries, and they have like a quarter, and they're like, "What are we gonna do?" And then they get like a whole hotel, and then he gives like, and then he gives the waiter a nickel, and he goes, "A nickel? I'm gonna buy my own hotel." Like,
that's so messed up. But yeah.
Oh, that movie.
That movie would not fly in today's time.
No.
And I think it had a similar name, like Estonia or Latvia. I think it had like a similar name.
Yeah, those are the Baltic countries, so.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they're making fun of. Oh, God. I still remember that movie. All right. So then, so Charity goes on a date, the dinner date late at night, where like they always make them trauma dump a little bit. And, oh, God, I feel like, I feel like they don't always need to do this. Not everyone needs to trauma dump, right? So her thing was, she said she was in an abusive relationship, but she didn't really specify. She just said she was cheated on. There was a lot of infidelity, which is bad, super bad. I guess it could be considered abusive, but I feel like you should be a little bit more specific when you use that word or detailed, because I don't know, it's kind of making someone think that they were like emotionally abusive, verbally abusive, just cheating on someone. I don't know. Does that, I guess it could be abusive, but like, I feel like that's a very charged word to use for that.
It is. Yeah.
I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
To determine what's abusive and what's not?
But like, and the reason I'm saying this, not because I'm trying to belittle her experiences, right? I'm coming from the fact that I feel like the producers are telling her to use these words for TV.
Oh,
that's where I'm going with this.
Produced, okay.
Yes, like she had this awful thing that she went through, and they're like, "Well, you got to use these words to be, because it makes for better TV, right?" Like, I honestly don't even think she feels that way. I just feel like the producers kind of did that, because that's what like everyone needs to do in these things. I don't know. That's my opinion. But if she definitely thinks that that's what happened, then I'm okay with that, but something in me tells me she didn't want to use that word. It sounded like it was a very produced word to use.
Yeah, not touching that.
I can say that.
Yeah. Well,
I can't touch that.
Yeah. Well, we'll just move on then. I still think the producers are very, very shady. I feel I don't know.
100%.
No, they are. They're definitely.
Yeah. All right. What else happened? Okay, and then she tells him this like story. Ruby has a good point. It is very shocking to have a relationship had infidelity without also having abuse. Fair. I agree with that. But to say it on television, I don't know.
Definitely.
That's the only part that gets me. I feel like it's a very private thing for most people. But all right.
The more people talk about it, the more people can recognize the signs of it, and hopefully they can get out of a bad situation. So.
Yeah, which is what Brooklyn did, right? But there were specifics there.
Yep. I'm glad they're talking about it at least. So,
yeah.
For better or worse, I mean, whether it's real or, you know, whatever it's being produced, I am glad they are talking about it, because that's very important.
See, here's my thing, though. Like, I watched the episode, and maybe I'm just off, but it looked like she didn't want to talk about it. It's the vibe that I got.
Oh, and that probably means more real.
Yeah. So I'm like, should these producers force them to talk about things they don't want to talk about, right? Because Brooklyn she wanted to talk about it. She felt like, I don't know, I thought a lot of hesitation there.
I mean, it all comes with consent. Like, are they okay talking about it? Are they being coerced to talk about it? If they're being coerced, not cool.
Yeah, that's really my main point. That's really the main point I'm trying to make. And then this is what happened. So she tells him all these things, like, I was in an abusive relationship. There was a lot of infidelity. I couldn't even talk to my mom about it. And then Zach goes, I know exactly how you feel, because like there was a time I didn't even know what kind of music I listened to.
What?
It was weird. It was a weird thing to say.
What? 'Cause
she was like, She was like, I couldn't tell anybody. It was such an emotional thing. You know, I couldn't even recognize myself. And he was like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I was in a relationship and like, I was like, I don't even know what kind of music I like.
Is Zach on drugs?
Yes, Jazz. I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, like.
And here's the thing. And Emma, I know you wanted to talk about this too. Ruby's like, what does that even mean?
What does that even mean?
I was so confused because she just like let all this stuff out. And he's like, yeah, man, I was in a relationship and I didn't even know what kind of music I was into. I was like, what is jazz? Oh, God. Here's the thing. Maybe he said that to connect with her using his own experience to connect and show empathy. But that's exactly what he yelled at Greer for doing last episode.
Yep.
Emma, I know you have some thoughts on this. What are your thoughts?
Emma. Yeah, like, I just, more and more, I just am not understanding what his deal is, honestly. Like, even if that was, like you said, him just trying to connect with an experience, how is he going to yell at Greer for doing the same exact thing and then do this the next episode? I just don't really, it didn't really make sense. I also think it's kind of, just in general, going back to what we were talking about before, like, having them... It almost seems like every date, every one-on-one date, they have to trauma dump in some aspect. And it's kind of awkward when, like, the contestant is just, like, telling all this, like, really personal, tough, you know, story. And then the bachelor, whoever, is just kind of sitting there, like, telling his, like, kind of personal, but not really quite as, you know, big story. It's just like weird. It was just a weird conversation. It didn't make sense. And he just doesn't make sense to me at this point.
He doesn't make sense. Exactly. I feel like he's just not good with having the right words to say when someone is sharing something, and he doesn't have as much empathy to have a conversation that is that serious. We've never seen him have a serious conversation with anyone. Right? He kind of just says,
that's true.
I know how
I feel like he's like sitting there. Yeah, like he's just kind of sitting there and having a conversation. I feel like I can picture him just like not fully paying attention to what the other person is. Like maybe he just like zones out and is just waiting for him, like his turn to speak, and not like fully taking in what the other person is saying.
That
or
tracks.
He just says like little empathy.
That tracks. I believe that 100%.
Yeah, like I see nothing going on up there.
That might be true.
Because like these conversations do not connect for me. So yeah. He's living in his own world, and you know, whoever he's on a date with is actually there, present, and he's just not. Yeah. In the comments, we were saying, I'm trying so hard to make this make sense in my mind. Like, yeah, man, I like country music, and I got so much hate, I started to doubt myself. And then she said, there's no saving it. Like, it makes no sense. There is no saving it. Yeah, and like, April says, the inconsistency with... The Bachelor gives me whiplash. I'm like, yeah.
Mm, yeah, 100%.
I agree, man. That was wild. The way he went at it to Greer was just nasty. And then he does this. And he did the same exact thing. It's just wild. And like, you know, you got COVID. Boohoo, you're a little sick. You got the flu. Like, she is talking about abuse and infidelity. And like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. You know, and... That's just crazy to me, man. That's just wild.
Yeah.
All right. So then they have the group date, and everyone got called on a group date except for Ariel, which means Ariel gets the one-on-one.
And Ariel's the girl who's like, okay, yeah, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah, she is a baddie.
She's
the best way I can
describe
it. Allison
Brie.
Yeah, she is.
Allison Brie.
Yeah.
That's how I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. So Jess still hasn't gotten a one-on-one yet, and Greer still hasn't gotten a one-on-one yet. So Jess starts to spiral. She's like, I'm the only one that doesn't have a one-on-one. And then everyone's like, well, don't worry. Greer also doesn't have a one-on-one. She's like, Greer has COVID. She has an excuse. She's not even in this episode. She's not even supposed to be here today.
Also, I'm wondering how... all of them aren't getting COVID. Like, is it how is Greer? I was like, is this just going to be an outbreak like every week? Because clearly
it's going to rotate through all of them.
I don't know. There's something going on.
No,
exactly.
We come back to America, like... bring a new strain. We go back into lockdown.
Yeah. Oh God.
It's Estonia COVID.
All because
all
of
the Bachelor.
COVID. Yeah.
Probably. We're all gonna go on lockdown.
But like real talk, like they may have regional variant strains. They may be more transmissible, or they may go through vaccines better, and they may bring it back, and we don't know.
I don't know.
Imagine the next lockdown is because of The Bachelor.
Ratings go through the roof.
Producers work really hard. Yep, producers working really hard.
Oh my God.
Oh God, it's terrible.
Yeah, so funny.
Yeah, that's
right. All right. So Jess is like freaking out. She's crying. They're all trying to console her. And then I think Brooklyn and Kat are on this date also. And there's going to be a little bit of drama between them later on. So we'll talk about that. But, you know, this is where the witches of Waverly Place come into play, Jazz.
they
bring on a witch. And the witch is like doing all of these like weird spells and talking about chakras and all this stuff, which like I'm a little offended. I don't know if this is really Estonia culture, or are they actually making fun of Romani culture? It kind of gave me Romani vibes because they said things like chakras and stuff. Which are basically Indian stuff, and Romanis are from the Indian diaspora. So I don't know what Estonian witch is, but it was kind of weird. But they always kind of do some like wacky cultural stuff, and I feel like they kind of minimize the cultural impact of some of these things because they were kind of just like laughing it off with this witch. And I mean, I purposely would not fuck with a witch. I wouldn't say, I'm not saying I believe in them. I'm just saying I don't fuck with them. So like, you know, better to err on the side of caution. Jinns, demons, witches, I do not. Thank you.
No.
I would rather go home than go on that date. I would give myself COVID than go on that date. I am not messing
with
no Estonian witch. No.
I'm with you. Nope. Don't mess with any of it.
Not my thing. So they do that, and they do this thing where like they have them all like light a candle, and they have to look at each other's eyes with the candle. But when Jess did it, the candle blew out.
Oh no!
Poor Jess's.
Which is a bad sign.
She was not
a bad sign.
She was not.
It's definitely produced, but oh my God, that makes for good TV.
There's probably a producer with a straw just going. It was so funny.
Oh my God.
So, they go to the dinner one-on-one date, and then two confrontations happen. So Zach confronts Jess, or Jess confronts Zach why she hasn't gotten a one-on-one yet. And then Brooklyn confronts Kate, and they're kind of fighting.
Good.
So did anything else happen on the group date that I'm missing?
I don't remember. Those are the big things
think
that stood out
that
to
big.
Me.
I think they had like a cauldron and like they had to yell things out about what they love.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, people
did
were like,
anyone
I
say
love
Zach?
Love.
Interesting.
So no one said Zach. Everyone was like, I love love. They were like, I love nature. I love mom. One girl said, I love Taylor Swift. And the whole thing blew up. And they're like, damn, you must really love Taylor Swift.
All right.
The power of Taylor Swift.
Two things I don't mess with. Witches and Swifties.
And don't mess with Swifties.
Absolutely. Agreed.
Witches and Swifties.
Agreed.
I do not mess with them. All right. So she goes to Zach and, you know, things are getting into her head. Number one, she's the only one that doesn't have the one-on-one. And then the candle blew out. So she's all in her head. She's spiraling. So she goes to Zach and she's like, I haven't had a one-on-one. In fact, like, no, it's okay. Like, I feel really, really confident in us. And she's like, yeah, but like, in order to know somebody, you need to be on a one-on-one, right? And what she means is I need to spend quality time with you. I don't have quality time with you. That's why I want one-on-one. He's hearing one-on-one over and over again. He's like, why do you keep saying one-on-one? Why do you keep saying one-on-one? And then like you can literally see the second he changes his entire mind about her. And then he's like, you know what? I don't have a lot of confidence in us. With like 5 seconds ago, he goes like, I have a lot of confidence in us. He goes, I don't have any confidence in us. And he goes, here's the door. Emma, what are your thoughts?
Oh my God. That was like, Yeah, like the point of having the one-on-ones is the quality time. So I think she, like, I could see her trying to get across, like, not saying like, oh, I just want to go on a date. It's I need to spend time with you to be able to progress, because it's, you know, again, it's everyone's dating the same person, but what's the point of kind of being there at this point in the game and not having that quality time? Like, I understand her perspective. And then for him to just be like, oh, no, it's fine. But then turning it back around, like, oh, like, you know, acting like it's unreasonable for her to ask for this. And then being like, actually, I don't have any confidence. Like, you're out. Like, what? Again, I just don't
get
this guy.
Like, the slightest inconvenience and he shows them the door. It's so bizarre.
Literally. Yeah, it's really weird. Like, he just can't, at the first sign of any sort of, like, disagreement, that's it. He's done. I'm like, that's not how things work.
He wants a girl who's 100% ready to commit to him without him having to do any work. Any kind of, like, you know, growth. Any kind of, like, you know, working things out. No, he wants her to come, like, standard, already made. You don't have to put the parts together. What's that called when your furniture is, like, ready made?
Yeah.
Is there a word for that?
Yeah.
He wants a girl, no assembly required. That's what he wants.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Batteries included. Everything's like ready to go.
God.
Plug and play.
On today's episode of What We're Comparing Women to.
No, I'm not saying he wants a woman like that. He wants a relationship like that. He wants a relationship where he doesn't have to do any work.
Yep.
I would not compare women to objects, Jazz. Yep. Stop trying to get me in trouble.
You love the drama. Here's the drama.
Oh, no. Right. So she's like, I'm not going to beg. Which, like, she's crying. Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to beg for you to, like, give me some quality time. And he goes, okay, then you can go. Like, literally just walks her to the thing. And he's like, I'm so confused. And he's putting on these tears. But, like, bro, if, like, he's a definition of, like, if he wanted to, he would. Like, Clayton was, like, he stopped the whole show for the girl he wanted. Colton stopped the whole girl and jumped the fence for a girl he wanted. Yep. Like, literally, like, if he wanted to, he would. He wasn't going to stop her.
He was like, whatever.
He would probably wasn't even going to give her the rose that week. Yeah. So, whatever.
Oh, like, God. How old is this girl?
She was young. She was 22.
That explains a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that explains a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, poor girl. Sense.
Yeah.
And he's 29.
No, he's 26. No. 29. Dude, he's 22. He looks old.
He's 26. I gave him credit.
He looks like he's 39.
I don't know why I thought he was older, but his behavior
Man,
makes
aging
more
like
sense.
Aging like milk.
That's what you're really is.
But not like cheese, like just spoiled rotten milk.
Like actual milk.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn calls out Katie again, and Katie's like, I think trying to apologize, but like Brooklyn like stops her. And then she says one of the best lines ever. She's like, you're trying to make me to be like this bad person. And she goes, well, if the shoe fit, lace that bitch up.
That was iconic.
Brooklyn said that?
Yeah, Brooklyn said that.
Oh, I'm a big fan.
Dude, that's the second line that she had that was just, I mean, what was the first one? She was like, have you ever considered shedding the fuck out? That was the first one.
Yeah, that was her. I love that so much.
Dude.
I was like, yes,
she's
absolutely.
Got the,
like,
she's got the
you
lines.
Go, girl.
I was just like, ugh. And then this was the episode. So like Charity, she was like, Charity and Katie kind of, Charity and Kat, sorry, I can't get these white women straight. I'm sorry. They're both nurses. They're both names start with a K. They both look alike. Yep. They're both blonde. Like, it's so hard. It's so hard.
You can do it, Niamh.
So
I believe in you.
I know. Oh, man. All right. So Kat takes Charity aside and they're having a conversation and she's really just like, I swear, I hate to use this word, but it really felt like she was just trying to gaslight her into thinking she did nothing wrong. And Charity's like, you know, listen, I'm trying to talk to you. And then Brooklyn comes into the room and Brooklyn goes, well, I just have a question for you. I just want to make sure you're okay. And she was like, she wanted to make sure Charity was okay. Charity's like, okay, I'm okay. She's like, I have a question for you. Would you have done this to Jess if she was on her day? And then she literally didn't even answer the question. She just walked away and stormed off. And Charity's like, that didn't require storming off. I don't know what just happened.
Still, I'm here for it.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild.
I love it.
But since Jess was shown the door, Zach said he was too emotional to give anybody a group date rose, so he did not give anybody a group date rose, and they all started just like bawling and crying.
Zach is emotional.
It was bad.
I guess.
Honestly. Yeah,
okay.
So no rose was given.
Nope.
All right. So let's get into the next one-on-one date with Ariel, which was strange.
Yeah,
it was a weird date to see in 2023. Some things about this date were really wacky. We'll talk about that. So Ariel gets the one-on-one, and you know their date again looks like Frozen. They go and they meet these people, and they were gonna go into a nude sauna. So Ariel says right off the bat, well, I'm not getting nude. So you do what you want to do. I'm not getting nude.
All right.
She's like, I'm wearing a bathing suit. So she was like, yo, she's smart. She's like 28 years old. She's like a marketing manager. She's like, yeah. I got a career. I got a business. I have like my life together. I don't need to go on a show and be nude. No, thank you. They went to the sauna and they did not get nude. So how is this show going to make this exciting since they don't want to get nude? What will
they
do?
They're
going to
throw in other girls and have them go nude.
Yes, kind of. They throw in this old ass couple and they're like nude and sagging and
I'm here for it. All right.
And they're letting it all show out. I don't know, man. If I guess there's consent if you walk into a nude sauna to expect nude people. I don't know, but that was wild.
I mean, what else implied happens? Consent?
I guess yeah. It's implied consent.
It's yeah, it's
you can't go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering how.
Go to a nude beach and say, hey, this person got naked in front of me. So I guess it's implied consent. I guess we can't get mad at that. Still kind of wacky. Still kind of weird.
Very weird.
But they get out of the sauna and you know they make out a little, and then they go into a hot tub. So Jazz, this is the weird part of the hot tub. So you know how a hot tub's bubble, right? Like
yeah,
right. That's how they just yeah. You can imagine me making bubble noises.
That's exactly what,
right. Like so, they can't do that because it messes with the microphone. So they're just sitting in hot water. They're just in their own stew of hot water. That's all it is.
Oh god, that means they can see everything because the bubbles aren't distorting the vision.
Yeah, but they're not new. They're not new.
I know, but they're not. But like, I'm guessing the other couple's there, right?
Yeah. Oh my god, how did you know? How did you know that?
I'm trying to piece it together, man. Like,
Jazz. Wow. The old couple comes in and, like, they start making out naked.
Of course.
In a hot tub with no jets.
Yep.
I do not
want to visualize this, but the visual is there.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank God they had that black box. The return of the black box.
Oh, they actually brought it this time.
Yeah, right.
Well, they were nude this time, Jazz.
I mean, last time, it's pretty close. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, from what y'all told me.
Yeah. Oh, man. We got some good comments. Ruby's like a hot tub with no jets. Yes, exactly. No jets. Oh, man. It was like, good evening, m'lady. Can I interest you in some soup?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Is this the Bachelor or like my own personal fear factor? Ruby with the lines today.
It's a real.
Oh, my God.
You love that.
Bachelor soup, guys. That's all it was. Oh, Oh man. But that's what it was, man. That was pretty wacky. And then I guess I think that was the end of their. Oh, then they had a dinner, and I really liked their dinner. There was no trauma dumping. There's no nothing. She's just somebody who had their shit together. She's like, you know, I just want to be loved. I'm just lonely. I haven't dated in a while. Very sensible. Very like normal things for someone to say. I really liked it. I was like, she's just somebody who had their stuff together. Nothing really dramatic happened to her, and she's kind of just like, you know, pretty well put together. And then Jazz is like. Not Jazz. Zach is like.
I am also like this at this point. I like this girl.
Yeah. And Zach is like, wow, I really liked her. I never would have thought that I would like her until the one-on-one. Like, no shit, Zach. Oh, because of a one-on-one, you realize you like somebody? Isn't that something Jess was saying to you?
Fucking Zach.
He just continues to like prove the other way, like the women that have like he's lashed out to right. I'm just like, dude, do you hear yourself?
So wild. He's like, Jeff was really like, we need a one-on-one to get to know each other, we need some quality time. And he's like, oh, and now that I have this quality time with Ariel, I really like her, you know, she's someone that's been in front of my eyes the whole time and I haven't noticed. Bro,
zero situational awareness.
<This guy. laughs>
I know,
zero.
just horrible.
100%. Oh man. And he's lucky enough to date all these women? Ugh.
Honestly, so many of them. I know, honestly. Man. Especially like Charity, Genevieve, like all of these girls.
Oh my God.
They should all reject him and be like, nah, we got standards.
Also, I think Ariel's out of the league too. There's no way. Ariel's like 28. He's 26. He has their life together in New York. He's some dude from Texas. I mean, like, no offense, Jazz, but like.
You know, in this case, I'm not even offended. Because he really is some milquetoast dude from Texas that no one will like think twice about outside of The Bachelor.
Right? Yep. And then she's somebody who has like a great job, well put together, bombshell. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, she's
definitely
gorgeous.
She's really pretty.
Yeah. I don't know, man. So that's what it was. And then they have the rose ceremony. And the rose ceremony, he ends up getting rid of
Jess?
Damn. No. Jess already been shown the door.
I know.
He gets rid of Allie, who's one of the girls that he had a one-on-one with early in the beginning. I definitely did not feel any chemistry between them on their one-on-one date. I didn't see that. And then who's the other girl that got let go? Man, I can't even remember.
I know. It's like they're all kind of blurred together. I can't remember who was left.
I don't know.
Has Gabby had
Gabby has she had that really great date, the princess date, the pretty woman date.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Hold on.
I did not remember.
I can Google. I'm Googling who went home on The Bachelor. Okay, I didn't scroll down, actually, because this is like showing me all of them.
It's like a look on.
Who got eliminated this week? All right, I'm going to check real quick. That is so strange.
Was it just... I don't feel like
Rose
it was just...
Ceremony maybe it was. Number six. Allie Jacobs.
I think I might have...
And Jess was eliminated before.
Oh, so maybe it was just one person.
Maybe we were just thinking of...
So it's just Allie. Yeah. So just Allie then. Allie got Fantone.
Whoa.
She was done. What?
This one has like future things for some reason.
Oh, you got spoilers? You ran into spoilers? Oops.
I think I may have accidentally run into spoilers. Reality and scene. I'm really sad now.
We're a no spoiler show, Jazz.
No.
Keep it to yourself.
No.
But there,
but you're going to be burning with that knowledge.
But there are previews. So, so the preview. So the previews say that fantasy suites are going. And Zach called it, you know, fantasy suites are really just sex week. Like, first of all, no one's called it that. That's just a weird thing to call it.
Yeah.
And he goes, I'm not going to have sex. There's going to be no sex.
Yeah.
No sex. And, which was really, really strange thing to say. I mean, you could have just kept that to yourself. You didn't really need to announce it. But,
exactly.
He does this whole, like, thing. Like, oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't know what Rachel did to him in the fantasy suite, but he is traumatized about going into the fantasy suite.
No. I still want to know what the hell happened in that that fantasy suite, because
they came out of there hating each other.
They came out like totally. I was like, maybe he, well, now I'm kind of like seeing how he is. Maybe she tried to like talk to him and he just wasn't listening. That could have been it.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? So,
never know.
I don't know. Jeff, you remember when they altered the cauldron and everybody was saying, like, I love Taylor Swift? Zach goes, I love Twix. That was his love.
Twix?
The candy.
God, so that's the kind of person insufferable. He's, oh my God, Twix?
Yeah.
I am offended.
I love Twix.
Of all candy.
I am offended.
Not his mom, not his family, like, not nature, not love.
Not his Twix. Dog, whatever, but Twix.
Yeah.
This guy.
So that's the kind of guy he is. And but the previews make us believe that even though he says no sex on the date, he still does it.
Are we
Which
surprised?
May or may not be true.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Not surprised.
Zach the jackass.
I don't know. I just think he's just no self-awareness is what's going on.
I have full-on hatred for this man now. Like, just straight up hatred. And that's a very strong word, but I mean it today.
Well, like,
I don't blame you. I'm with you.
Jav hasn't seen the show, so I can see why you'd be swayed that way with the way we talk about him. But, you know, I don't know. I don't think he's a great bachelor. But the show is never really about the bachelor. It's always about the contestants. But he was so fast with getting rid of all the drama that it kind of made the season a little less, I don't know. I wanted more drama. I feel like they were pulling at straws with the drama.
I'm surprised they didn't, like, make him keep, like, one of the people that was causing the drama.
Yeah,
like
I thought,
like,
they were for sure.
Just getting rid of everyone.
They were for sure going to keep the Mandrell girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that was a surprise that she was gone early. No. Yeah. I thought they were going to keep her around for a while.
Yep. But that's our Zach. So next week, we got to figure out what he does. Is it hometowns or is it sex week? They did mention sex week. But usually sex week is the only when there's three people left. What? They should have hometowns before that.
Yeah, so I'd be surprised if that. I think it's only like four hometowns. Is only when there's four left. Are we really that close to?
I think there's only four people left. Oh, the Greer. Greer's going home.
Oh yeah,
she's gonna come back from COVID and get sent right back home.
Yeah, probably.
Here's what's gonna happen.
He's gonna be like, "Well, when I had COVID,
here's what's gonna happen. She's gonna come surprise him in his room and be like, "Surprise! I don't have COVID anymore." He's gonna be like, "Surprise! Here's the door." That's what's gonna happen.
I would not put it past him.
Yep. Ruby says, "I'm with Thank you, Ruby. That sounds like garbage."
Yeah.
Let me show you a picture of Zach. Agree. Let me show you a picture of a dumpster fire. Sure, tell me the difference.
Corporate tells me
it's the same picture.
The same picture.
Nice. Oh man, but that's the end of the episode. Emma, did I miss anything? Is there anything else?
Yeah. I think that was a pretty good summary. The one funny thing that I was scrolling through Twitter, and I watch it the next day because we don't have cable, so sometimes I like to scroll through Twitter just to see what the general reaction is before I start watching. And someone pointed out the beginning of the, like, witch date. It was giving very much like the proposal, like when they're in the woods and Betty White is doing like those chants. And that's very, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what it reminded me of. So that was pretty interesting. But yeah, I think that was a pretty good recap. It was kind of, you know, somewhat uneventful besides some of the little bits of drama. I mean, well, actually it was pretty big drama, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how the rest of this goes because I'm not really a fan I'm not a fan of him.
Oh man, you just reminded me.
These
just reminded me of something. You know when you said you were going through Twitter, one of the tweets that I saw. You ever see Loki where like in the Loki show, Mobius is like, he's like, "Oh, sorry, Asgard being destroyed." He goes, "Yes, very sad." Anyways, so like they have a picture of like Jesse. He'd be like, "Greer has COVID." He goes, "Oh yes, very sad." Anyways, like he did not care that she had COVID.
Yeah, literally,
he did not care.
That's exactly right. Oh, thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon Moore saying,
"Shout out to Brandon.
Love a good proposal reference."
Shout out to Brandon.
Yes. Great movie. Rest in peace, Betty White.
That was so good.
That's so funny.
Betty White. But yeah, that was pretty accurate. I think I saw that tweet too.
The tweets are hilarious. All right. Well, with that said, this is the end of the episode. Thank you for joining us. Please remember to like, share, subscribe, give us a review. And Emma, please tell people where they can find you.
Oh, Twitter, as it says on my little screen right here, at _Eminem. I have been doing some fun things for Ages of Fandom. We have Ticket to Reality. We're recording an episode tomorrow with Sam, who, well, this will be spoilers for The Circle. She won this past season of The Circle. We're going to be talking about The Perfect Match and all the chaos that has ensued. I should have an article coming out, hopefully tomorrow, a review of Daisy Jones and the Six before that comes out on Friday. And that's kind of what's going on with me. And I'll be watching, I'll be tweeting about reality TV all the time.
Awesome, awesome. Guys, go follow Emma. She is the best. And we can't wait to have you back. In fact, I'm going to be on Ages of Fandom podcast this week, this Thursday, for The Mandalorian. So you can catch me on their show.
Ooh.
I even up there.
We trade off. I was like, okay, you can have us. I can have you. And then maybe the following week we'll have them come on our show. So that'll be fun.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a podcast orgy. Everybody goes on everybody else's podcast.
Everybody's swapping partners. And
absolutely.
Yeah, great.
Yep. We're just swingers now. That's what it is. Podcast swingers. Man. All right. Let us go before we get caught off the air. And that's the end of our episode, guys.
Yeah,
Salam, nerds.
Peace.
Boo.